from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Evan Giddings in for Bonte Hill with Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. And also, another Shasky's in the picture for those on YouTube. What's going on?
LJ's making his YouTube appearance here with E-Dog. Let's go, baby. Hey, LJ, how excited are you that you get to see Ayuk for the next 5 years?
Oh, I can just see the excitement. And we're also happy to be welcomed now by Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network. Join us every single week during the NFL season on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Baldy, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. It's good to be with you, man. Obviously, big news yesterday, so lots to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah. Baldy, this is amazing news. Like, no, I'm super fired up because we actually get to talk about football. This is a really good player who plays really beautiful football in Shanahan's system with Brock Purdy. Like, I'm just so fired up and ready to roll. This is a great day, isn't it?
It is a good day because, honestly, I mean, they had deals in place to move him, to trade him. I mean, they couldn't get the right compensation back because they needed a good player in return. But there was deals worked out in a number of different places. And I don't pretend to be, you know, the inside reporter on this, but there was deals in place where it could have easily have him not, you know, not a 49er for the next 5 years. So the fact that he's there, he's their number one option in the passing game on most routes. Like, it's a fantastic for the 49ers because they don't have a player as good as him on the roster right now.
Well, Baldy, I do have to ask kind of off of that. A lot of people have been wondering, you know, why did it kind of take so long? Because 4 for 120, 76 guaranteed, you know, on paper it appears to be very similar, nearly identical to the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. That one got done back in April. This one gets done, obviously, 24 hours ago on August 29th. Why do you think it did take so long to get here with Ayuk and the Niners?
I just remember, I mean, not that this is apples to apples, but just talking to, you know, Nick last year when he got his, you could have said the same thing about Nick. Mm-hmm. You know, like all these other guys had been signed. They knew that they had to get him signed, and yet it took all the way up until, the final couple of days before the opener to get it done. You see, they're just complicated. They're just not simple. You could say, okay, well, Amon-Ra signed for this, CD signed for that. You know, Justin Jefferson signed for this, but every deal is a little bit different. Everybody has a different cap issue. Everybody's looking to figure out how they can get out of a deal if something goes wrong. Like, you know, there's just a lot of legalese that go into these things. And the fact that they drafted Ricky Pearsall in the first round, I thought they said, okay, if we can't get him to our liking with our kind of numbers, then at least we have his replacement in the building. And obviously that has not gone well this summer so far, not to say that it won't, but I think that might have influenced it as well.
Baldy, how quickly do you think he can get ready to roll and ramp up for week one?
Well, I don't know, Joe. That's the ultimate question right now because there has been no offseason or preseason, and I'm sure he can go out there and run a route, but, you know, these – to run these routes against the New York Jets and Monday night, you know, in 9 days or 10 days, you know, it's the precision of a diamond cutter of where you've got to be and where the quarterback, more importantly, thinks you're going to be. And so I don't know how long it's going to take to get that rhythm and timing. It's hard, honestly, to do that just in practice because you just don't go 100% in practice. All the time. You just can't because physically your body shouldn't be pushed like that. So I think it might take a couple of games before you see him hit a rhythm and where the ball's coming out before the break.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on the River Islands guest line on 95.7 The Game. Joins us every single week on the morning roast here during the NFL season. Baldy, you know, a lot of people have asked the question, you know, who won the deal, right? I personally don't really care because I look at it as both a move for this season. You're all in on this year trying to get back to where you were last year and get even further to win a Super Bowl. But it also marries Brock Purdy with Brandon Ayuk for the next five seasons. So when you hear the question asked of, you know, who won, who lost, does it really matter at the end of the day when you get to week one and you see number 11 out there at Levi's Stadium?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's just a term, who won the deal. I believe that everybody wins. You know, John Lynch said he wanted to keep Brandon Ayuk. I'm sure Kyle Shanahan never wanted to lose him, but he understands the business side of things. But, I mean, I think the winner of the deal, honestly, are the 49ers and everything that goes with it, whether it's Jed York, you know, whether it's the 49er fans, whether it's Brock Purdy. I mean, I think the 49ers win because not every team can figure out how to structure these deals where you can keep all of your great players. Mm. Most teams can't do it. Most teams don't have the wherewithal or the ability to do it. And so the fact that they drafted well in key spots, and they've been able to keep those players, that's a testament to the 49ers in the front office.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I'm a big believer in, like, fit, right, Baldy? Like, certain people have to fit certain cultures, certain schemes, the personnel around them, whether it's inside or outside of sports. And I just feel like this guy fits. His demeanor is not like a me-first guy on a team that's run-first. I mean, he's rugged, and I feel like he's an understated dude. But when you watch the film, why is he such a perfect fit with this quarterback in this scheme?
Well, I mean, they love to attack the middle of the field. And so you're going to run a lot of in cuts. I mean, the Rams with Kurt Warner, the greatest show on turf, they ran a similar style of offense. And, you know, if you're not a guy that has no fear going across the middle, you're not going to be good in this offense. But that's where they want to attack. And, you know, these teams that play cover three, that's where you should attack. You know, that's the area of the field that's the most valuable part of the field. And Ayuk makes a living in that part of the field. I think he's a very crisp route runner. I think he gives good indicators on choice routes, option routes, which direction he's going to go. You see very few. And maybe you watch every single game, Joey. I can't think of too many cases where there was miscommunication between Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk. But I see it all the time in other systems, in other quarterbacks and receivers. I just don't see that with him. And that's something that you've got to throw this ball on time. The ball's got to be out of your hand before you come out of the break. Otherwise, you're not going to beat these corners in these defenses. And so there's a big trust there between the quarterback and Ayuk to be able to do that.
Baldy, how much pressure is placed on a player like Ayuk, not just to perform this season, but over the course of the contract? When you get paid, you know, top five wide receiver money, is it fair for fans to wonder what they're going to see, what they're going to get? And do you think that Ayuk can take another step and get to a different level?
Well, I think every player can always take another step. I mean, I think he grew from year one with Brock Purdy and Kyle to year two. Now, there was some years where there wasn't a great deal of production to start his career. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like this, there's a lot of talented players in his offense that, you know, we have talked to George Kittle, you know, 2 weeks ago about sometimes it looks like he kind of disappears. The game dictates where you go with the ball. The defense dictates where you go with the ball. If your left tackle in the lineup, not in the lineup, that dictates where you go with the ball sometimes. So it's not like Brandon Ayuk isn't CD Lamb. It's a totally different offense. CD gets almost all the targets and key targets, and they move him around to shake him up. They don't have to do that in San Francisco because of McCaffrey and Debo and Kittle. Like, it's not necessary to do that. So he has a different role here, but it's a valuable role, and he's a very selfless player. I mean, he gives himself up in the run game. He's an excellent blocker. You want to run toss crack, your receivers better block the force. All these kind of things have to take place to have successful runs. McCaffrey probably doesn't get that long touchdown run week one against the 49ers without McCaffrey taking the corner off his feet. So sometimes there's a lot of hidden yardage in the things that he does for the offense that you can't put in the stat sheet.
Yeah. You know, Fred Warner, when he signed his big deal, that following year, about midway through, he says, you know, I'm trying to do too much on the football field, right? And I'm trying to prove that I'm worth every single dollar, even though I know I already got paid. And it is an admirable thing to admit and to try to accomplish. How does Brandon Ayuk avoid kind of that same, you know, overdoing it, if you will, to try to do too much? How do you avoid that, Baldy?
Well, I think it's a little bit easier to do that if you're Fred Warner than it is a wide receiver. I mean, wide receivers run specific routes against particular looks, and they're told to do this and do that, and that's what the play sheet says. You know, I can see Fred, okay, on a blitz look going, you know, I'm just going to take this gap, even though I'm not supposed to be in this gap. I can see Fred going, okay, I'm going to take a gamble and get my hands on this ball because, and you don't get there, and you're like, why did I do that? Because I'm trying to do too much. I think it's a little easier for Fred. I mean, first of all, you're right. It's admirable to say it and to admit it. I think it's a little bit easier to try to overdo it if you're a defensive end or linebacker than it is to do it if you're a wide receiver. Sometimes if you're running a sail route from the slot position and Ayuk's job is to clear it out for that sail route to come open, like, he's got to go do that. You got to run that corner off to open up the window or Kittle coming on the sale, or Jennings coming on the sale. So you have to do certain things that people aren't really going to recognize for the play to work. And you can't just go off and be on your own. Now, the one thing you can do, and maybe any receiver would want to do, because T.O. was the best at it, Antonio Brown was the best at it, is when the play does break down and the quarterback is out scrambling and he's looking to extend it, can you get yourself in the vision of the quarterback to be the guy that is going to win that the play beyond the X's and O's. Like, some the great ones just do that. And I would say that's something that Ayuk can do without trying to do too much.
Mm. Brian Baldinger joining us here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line every single week here on the Roast during football season. Baldy, this is all, the Brandon Ayuk extension is all on the heels of maybe a press conference that's going to get swept under the rug, but John Lynch, before Brandon Ayuk on Wednesday did not show up to practice, he sounded, you know, frustrated, exasperated, any synonym you want to use. Do you feel like there's any coincidence between Lynch and even Shanahan sounding frustrated with this and the deal getting done? Do you feel like that was not necessarily a shot across the bow, but, you know, a message that this had to get done? And what did you kind of take away from it when you saw it?
Well, I mean, I think that's, you know, we'll never know. We'll see what happens to Trent, okay? We'll see how that plays out. But, you know, if you choose to do it the way Trent's doing it, you're never going to know the frustration. The same level of frustration is there. It was there with Nick last year. But if you're visible, if you're doing a hold-in, we saw it with Jamar Chase the other day, walked off the field. Coach thought he was practicing. If you're holding in and you're there every day, you can't help but be exasperated and to show the frustration of it not getting done and the clock is ticking and you've got a big game, you know, a week from Monday. Like, I just think those are part of the issue of players that decide to do it like that. But maybe the way you do it like that, maybe that helps get it done. Maybe all the sides being frustrated, maybe somehow that does help get the deal done when some days it looks like it's so far away.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Let's just assume that they get Trent in, because all the messaging from John is like, oh, we're going to get Trent in, we're going to get Trent in. when it comes to these kind of negotiations and being a GM, I think of John Lynch as a very credible, like, winning type of a guy in so many different avenues of his life. And I just trust him. You know, I just do. How many other GMs around the league would have been able to make this Aiyuk thing work? Because it did feel like it was teetering. And I feel like different organizations I've watched throughout my life as a sports fan would have just sent him packing or not gotten the deal done. And this would have lingered way longer or had a negative impact. And I feel like John deserves a lot of credit here.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, John's answering to a lot of people that are never in the news, were never talked about. I mean, there's financial considerations long-term, about the health of the organization when you're giving so much money to one particular player, and not to say that Brandon doesn't deserve it or anything like that, but there's a lot of players that, you know, feel like they deserve it. And there's other contracts, obviously, coming up that you have. So there's just so many considerations. So while John is, you know, wants to make sure Kyle gets everything he can get in order to make another run at a trophy, there's always other considerations. Some people don't have that level of communication in their organizations. Some people don't know how to value players correctly. I think just knowing John, like, the character of John Lynch should never, ever be questioned by any lawyer or agent or player or anybody. The guy's just a winning person, period. Now, that doesn't mean you're always going to make the right decisions, but I don't know how anybody playing for the 49ers can't think that they've got a general manager that's on par with any in this entire industry.
Wow. That's powerful. I mean, the guy's just, I mean, crushed it at Stanford at two sports, crushed it in the league at two different teams, crushed it as an analyst on TV, and I feel like he's crushing it as a GM. And to your point, like, well, yeah, it's the same organization that drafted Trey Lance, and look where they're at now. You know what I mean? As they're about to pay Brock Purdy. Like, you're going to make mistakes. It's how you rebound and how resilient you are. What's the hole on this offense right now? They bring in Trent Williams. Let's assume they bring in Trent. They got the best running back in the game, one of the best tight ends, a great wide receiver room, just top to bottom, a pretty solid offensive line, one of the best left tackles the game's ever seen. What's the soft spot on this offense?
Well, I don't know if there's I would say if you just look at it from the structure of the whole team, I have questions about the depth on the defensive line. That would be one. Mm-hmm. You always worry about your depth in the trenches, period. You've seen what happens when Trent goes out of the lineup, what this offense looks like. It's not nearly the same. So is the depth good enough to withstand any kind of injuries? And so that's always what you got. I think you just march out 22 starters for the 49ers. That's as good a roster as there is in the NFL. But injuries are going to happen. We saw what happened to the defense when Dre Greenlaw went out on the 12th play of the Super Bowl. They didn't look the same. So, you know, what's your depth like? That's really the issue that anybody would have with this team at this point. But if you said, okay, let's put our 22 starters up against Detroit, Philadelphia, Dallas, whatever, pick a team. Like, it's as good as anybody's.
Yeah, no. I'm right there with you, Baldy. And look, as far as focusing on the regular season now, it does feel like Trent Williams is the last chip to fall, or the last puzzle piece to place, you know, in the overall structure. But where does your mind go right now as we focus less on the contracts and the hold-ins and the holdouts? When I say 2024 San Francisco 49ers, what do you say?
Well, I mean, look, there's going to be, no matter, at some point, the season's going to come together like it did a year ago. It doesn't always happen right away. Great teams figure out what their strengths and identity are as the season goes on. And so maybe things don't go great on Monday night against the Jets. I don't know, but maybe it just doesn't. Who knows? Maybe Brock has a rough night. Maybe Aaron Rodgers just goes off. Who knows? But, like, at some point, the season is going to come together. It did last year after they lost three in a row. After the bye week, they went a month without winning a season. I saw Dre Green. I saw Fred the following week after they beat Jacksonville after that. And he said, we got it together, Baldy. Like, this, we're going to go on a rip. And they went on a rip, you know, and they put this, I don't know, six-game win streak together. That's every team. That's not the 49ers. If you're going to be a great team, you're going to basically establish that at some point during the season. And it might happen early. It might happen late. It might be kind of intermittent. But it's you're going to figure out when you come together, if you are going to come together, and look and feel like a great team. The confidence will rise to the top when it does.
No doubt. Brian Baldinger, thank you so much for joining us here today. Really appreciate your insight, as always, and helping us just kind of figure this thing out and getting us set for week one. I know we'll talk to you down the line, but we appreciate your time.
Love you, Baldy.
Well, you got it, Joe. Give me a call when Trent gets in that building. I want to talk about the guy.
Let's get it. Absolutely.
I can't wait.
That is Brian Baldinger. All
Happy
guests,
Labor Day.
Yes, sir. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? Yeah, he's right. That's the biggest of boys, and that's the last thing that's got to happen for the Niners. I certainly hope it happens today, Shasky, but at the same time, I'll be happy just when it happens.
Of course. You know, it's funny. You and I were talking yesterday before the IUK news broke, and I had written down that on a piece of paper, and I read it off to you a couple times. When I listened to John Lynch, I just trust him. Like, I just trust John Lynch. He's not going to be perfect. He's just credible, and I think that he's really smart. And I think that he's also smart enough to know what he's not good at and what he can control and what he can't control. And I think he's just a high-level human being. And I look at some of the conversations we have about the Niners. I don't think we talk about John Lynch enough. I just don't think we don't. And I think the credibility of not being a former player, being a former freaking badass and a Hall of Famer and a winner at two different locations, and having your jersey up in the rafters at two different teams, and being a local guy who played at Stanford, essentially, you know, and just being high level at everything he does as a communicator, as a human being. I feel like he's super genuine and down to earth, and there's something relatable about him. I don't think we talk enough about how good John Lynch is at his job. And I'm not sitting here saying that he's just grinding film. He's an old 22 guy, you know, like I just think he's got a good feel for like what is success in life. And I think it really carries over to the Niners. They've never been more likable in the last 25 years than since this guy showed up. And I know that Kyle comes off, you know, I guess to some people a little arrogant or, I don't know, dismissive or something like that. John is the complete opposite. Just professionalism, class, and down-to-earthness. And I don't think we talk enough about John Lynch.
Well, Baldy had higher praise than I was expecting for him. You know, one of, if not the best executives in the league. And I think that's something that John Lynch proved again because, you know, I'm not sure how the books work with the Niners and what they budgeted, what they've prioritized. All I know is they're spending the most cash in the NFL this season.
Yep.
But John Lynch is the guy that has to answer all the questions about why they're not spending more or why they're trying to not spend as much or why they're trying to do this with this player, why they're, you know, why trades are floating around the rumor mill or why Brandon Ayuk was offered this at this time. And he has to answer the unanswerable questions, and he continues to do it with class.
No doubt. And think about this. Like, and this is something I always think about. Like, my uncle, he retired very early. And he could be doing a lot of different things. But he does certain things because he loves them. You know what I mean? Because he's financially set to do whatever he wants. John Lynch has made enough money to do whatever he wants. He could easily go just broadcast games once a week. He's doing this because the guy wants to freaking taste the competition. You know what I mean? And there is something that I find so endearing about him just in general. The level of credibility he's brought to this organization and stability. And I don't know. He's just Ev, let's keep talking about him. I love John Lynch. I legitimately love John Lynch.
Yeah, I want to get into that more on the other side because, again, our emotions have changed a bit in the last 24 hours. I'm sure John Lynch is feeling just as relieved here today as he was because 2 days ago at that podium,
yeah,
he sounded pretty pissed. And I'm sure now he is happy to have Brandon Ayuk, a guy that he has always said has been prioritized by the San Francisco 49ers, and they demonstrated that by inking him to a four-year, $120 million contract with 76 M's guaranteed. That was last night. Brandon Ayuk will be here for the next five seasons for the San Francisco 49ers. All right, we're going to step aside, come back on the other side. If you want to get in on the conversation, how you're feeling today, entering the long weekend with BA under lock and key. Call us. 888-957-9570. Also the number for the Xfinity Mobile text line. Evan Giddings in for Bonte Hill along with Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. We'll be back after this. 95.7 The Game. That segment sponsored by Chilton Auto Body.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yo, Bay Area, what it do? It's your boy P-Lo. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, P-Lo. Evan Giddings in for Bonte Hill. Joe Butcher Boy Shasky with us as always, although up on a very lush and beautiful Russian river. And look, we haven't gotten to the bottom of the laminate floors or hardwood, and you know, floor and decor is going to help us out with all the rest of it, Shasky. But you know, it feels like a brighter day. I don't know if it actually is outside because it's always foggy here, but it feels like a brighter day. BA day. I don't know if you want to call it that, but
no, I love that. I mean, in the words of Bill Withers, lovely day.
Yes.
So you know, something I want to talk about, Ev, is that you know, like. I don't know if people know this or not, but, you know, I'm not the most, like, book smart, educated individual you've ever met. I didn't graduate high school until recently. I really didn't do any kind of college. I went a little bit of junior college and didn't really do any of that at all either. I had a GED. I'm not somebody that graduated from Stanford, you know, like John Lynch did. But I do believe that there are levels and different types of intelligence. Right. And we've all met those people in life who are really, 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 really smart and then lack all the common sense in the world. Right.
Yes.
Everybody knows somebody that in their life. I believe one of the most important skills to have is emotional intelligence. When you are running a business, managing people, just doing your day to day life, you know, maybe you're the patriarch or an influential member in a big family. You know, having emotional intelligence, I think, is extremely, extremely important. And understanding what makes people tick. And I think that John Lynch, though he has the Stanford education, and I'm sure he's like book smart to a degree, I think his emotional intelligence is what truly separates him from other people. And I think he understands when to put his foot down and when to put his arm around people when needed to and put his foot up someone when he needs to. And I think that is an underrated quality of what makes him so good at his job. Yes, picking players and hiring the right people and, you know, empowering those who have great skills in that front office to do their jobs. Like, that's important, you know, and having a good relationship with people and having people like you. Like, those things are all really important. And I look at, like, Bob Myers, and one of his best skill sets was emotional intelligence. And I think that's what made him so successful. Not perfect at all, but it made him really, really successful. I believe one of the areas where Farhan Zaidi falls very short is I think that he lacks reading the room. And I think that speaks to a lack of emotional intelligence. I think he's really smart, but I think he lacks that human touch to read the room. And I think that John has blended all of these things I'm talking about so well. And that's what just makes him a winner at life.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up the Farhan aspect of things, because what I do think he is missing is someone like a John Lynch. Now, it doesn't have to be someone that is in the same role or in ownership group, but I think that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have a symbiotic relationship. Like, where John Lynch falls perhaps a little bit short or has some shortcomings is where Kyle Shanahan thrives. Like, Kyle Shanahan is a great decision maker. He's the one that has the final calls. But where Kyle Shanahan lacks, in my opinion, is some of that sort of emotional intelligence. And I think John Lynch makes up for that. So when you hear Kyle Shanahan just being very stern and very straight to the point, it's softened by the fact that John Lynch can step in and kind of be at points when he has to be, like he has been this entire summer, the adult in the room, because that's what he is paid for. Kyle Shanahan is paid to call plays. He is paid to be the head coach. And then the front office takes care of that side of things. Farhan, to me, doesn't have, and I think he's been searching. Now, that's also a reflection of leadership, because he's the person that hires those people. But there hasn't been the yang to his yin. There hasn't been someone else that can balance his sort of areas in which he struggles.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think another reason why the 49ers have been so successful under both of these guys. And you brought up something earlier, you know, just kind of offhand about how they've had mistakes. They've made mistakes. And you brought it
huge
up to Baldy
mistakes
as well. The fact, I don't think it goes overstated enough just how unbelievable it is that you can miss on a draft pick like Trey Lance and give up the capital that you have and get not only better as an organization, but remain as competitive as they have. I don't think they get enough credit for that, because almost any other front office would have been fired by this point, because not many people can survive not having multiple first-round picks and being able to use those, and not only that, but also still get you to a place where you're competing for Super Bowls.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like, okay, if I was just thinking, like, horrific personnel decisions that you completely regretted and meant nothing to you in the grand scheme of things, the only thing that I can think that comes close, and I know people are going to point to James Wiseman, oh, the Warriors won the championship, James Wiseman, he wasn't relied on, and he didn't have an immediate quote-unquote replacement to, like, take his spot. The only thing that I think comes close, the Barry Zito contract. The Giants gave Barry Zito this contract to be the guy, okay? They didn't know that Lincecum, I mean, he was a high draft pick. I believe he was 10th or 11th overall. But they didn't think he would become that dude. I mean, you were hoping he'd be really good. Barry Zito was given an ungodly amount of money.
Yeah.
You deactivated him during the World Series, and he didn't even suit up. And not only did he not contribute at all of these random guys did. Johnny Sanchez, your young guy in Bumgarner, Matt Cain, who was here prior to Zito signing. And then obviously the emergence of Lincecum. Like, and I don't even think that comes close to the Trey Lance thing. Like, because you could still spend more money in baseball, I guess, essentially. You don't get more draft picks. Like, they didn't whiff. Like, they were ejected arguing balls and strikes in the on-deck circle. Like, literally, that's how bad the pick was. It was so horrific. And somehow they landed on Brock Purdy, and they get a ton of credit for pivoting to Brock Purdy in the middle of an elbow injury where you didn't even know if he was going to be able to throw a football for you week one.
Well, that's the thing. It's not like I'm not giving them credit for whiffing on Trey Lance and giving up three picks. But you do get credit for overcoming something that very few franchises in the history of football have been able to overcome. When you whiff on a quarterback, generally your franchise is dormant for a long period of time. And not only was that not the case with the 49ers, but they actually stumbled into a player that has elevated them back into relevancy, to Super Bowl relevancy, which is not a place that many teams get to go to, even if they have a quarterback. I mean, you look at the top five list of quarterbacks right now, however you have them sliced, a lot of those guys are on teams that have not been to a Super Bowl. In the AFC, it's Mahomes and it's Burrow. And Allen, Lamar, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, you know, just highly paid dudes down the list, those guys have not been to a Super Bowl.
You know what this has a feel of? Now, I was thinking about it. You ever heard the name Darko Milicic?
Yes, and there is a butterfly effect theory from him that I actually find very interesting, but
what was it? Because he was drafted number 2 overall. They had Tayshaun Prince, so they weren't going to take Carmelo, and I'm sure there were other layers to it, and they ended up winning a championship, but, like, they picked the wrong guy. I mean, they picked the wrong guy. Like, that was a complete whiff. They were wildly successful for multiple seasons. But that has a lot of this feel. But in this scenario, like, imagine Tayshaun Prince being the best player on the team. You know what I mean? Like, or one of the best players at one of the most important positions. That's what Brock Purdy ended up being.
No, but the butterfly effect I'm talking about is, so a lot of, some people believe that if, for example, the Detroit Pistons drafted the best player in the draft, they took Carmelo Anthony, that they actually wouldn't have won the championship that year because Tayshaun Prince was so instrumental to what they did.
Absolutely.
The Warriors comparison to that would be, if they had taken, for example, LaMelo Ball, well, then someone like Jordan Poole doesn't get to develop and doesn't step into the role that he had, which you could talk about his last year in Golden State and all the rest. He was instrumental to that championship run, not only in the regular season, but also in the first round series and beyond. He had some big moments of the finals, all the rest.
Memphis.
So if they had not taken James Wiseman, they might not have won that championship. We'll never know. It's a theory that I think is fascinating across sports. You know, if the Niners had taken this player, if they'd taken that player, who knows? If they had not taking Trey Lance, maybe they dig deeper in on Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe they don't end up with Brock Purdy. Like, I'm just not sure.
Point.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's always impossible to say, but that's the kind of stuff that I love talking about with sports.
No, I love it. I mean, like, I now that you're bringing that up, I always think of, like, okay, if Jose Guillen doesn't get popped for PEDs, Cody Ross never makes the roster, and he doesn't hit three home runs in game one against the Phillies.
Oh,
and, like, you know, like, where Roy Halladay's like, are you kidding me? Like, what is going on here, Cody Ross? So yeah, I love those woulda, coulda, shouldas.
Yeah, but again, the guy that has to pull those strings, to your point, in many of these situations, you know, it is the front office. Parag makes the financial choices. Kyle Shanahan has say over the roster, but John Lynch, I don't know if he gets enough credit because there isn't, I guess, a definitive role. You know, you can't look at his resume and see exactly what he does on a day-in and day-out basis with the 49ers. But I think a summer like this illustrates his importance because and the reason why I asked Brian Baldinger about this is because I do not think it's a coincidence that John Lynch basically, you know, showed us his fangs on Wednesday at the press conference, and 2 days later, Brandon Ayuk has a contract. I don't think there's a coincidence there because there is something about understanding when to put your foot down that I believe someone like John Lynch is as well equipped as anybody to do because he's been in the trenches, he's been in the booth, he's been in the front office, and knowing when to pull the string, I think, basically, look, I know you can make the case, right? He should have done it earlier. But he had let it get to this point. The Niners had let it get to this point. Ayuk had let it get to this point. And they all understood, both parties, that this could not go any further. And I feel like John Lynch basically was ready to play hardball. And that was the button that was properly pushed at the time to get us to the point where we are finally talking about football again.
Such a good point. That's a brilliant point, and I agree with your sentiment there. And I think that we're just lucky to have him. I mean, I think about what this organization was before John Lynch showed up, and the leakage, and just, you know, Bulky always felt like a weasel, and, you know, like, he never had that credibility, you know, where he could step at the podium and yet with pride realize, like, yeah, this guy stands for something, you know what I mean? And I think that John Lynch, there's obviously the player credibility, but I just mean, like, as a man. And this is where I go back to the trust word from yesterday. I just trust the dude. Like, I just trust the dude. In the same way that, like, if Buster Posey was at a podium, I don't think that he would lie to us, right? And I just trust the dude. And I don't even know Buster Posey, you know what I mean? But, like, I don't think that he would go out of his way to give me stock answers because that's what people want to hear. There are certain individuals who are just wildly successful in everything they touch. John Lynch is one of those people.
100%. And I think that it's also because there's this feeling of him being genuine, and Bob Myers had it too. Whenever he spoke, whenever John Lynch speaks, there's a feeling that you're hearing the person, not just the professional and not just the employee, that you're really hearing that guy. And John Lynch is someone that is uniquely positioned, I think, just to, you know, kind of keep the Niners both where they're supposed to be, but also with enough eye for the future. And I don't know necessarily for me, Shasky, it has to do with his Stanford background. That probably helps. But we know a lot of guys, I'm sure you do, that the fact that their education, it kind of blinds them sometimes. Or, you know, the amount of accolades that they have, it doesn't allow them to take, whether it's criticism or, I don't know, just outside voices, and then kind of bring them to where they're supposed to be. Like, I think John Lynch is someone that is open-minded. I think Bob Myers is someone that's open-minded. And something that Steve Kerr has always kind of talked about, and it just hit me listening to John Lynch the other day, it's knowing when to admit that you don't have all the answers. And I think John Lynch is a guy that I resonate with because, look, you and I, we don't have all the answers. You know, we've been talking about this situation for umpteen weeks and umpteen months, it feels like. And now, after waking up yesterday and seeing the news, it's finally, we can move into football, which is what we've all been wanting to talk about anyways. And it is kind of strange just to think about, God, you know, like, we were doing backflips and concerning ourselves and worrying about this. And not that I'm not worried about where this season can go, but I feel like there's just a sigh of relief, a collective sigh of relief from the Bay Area, because the Niners are the team I think that everyone is looking for to represent the Bay right now in this region in an era of sports that have not had a ton of things go right lately.
No,
the Giants haven't been great. The Warriors are trying to figure out what they're doing. The Niners are the glimmer of hope for this region, and I'm glad that it feels like it's back to being that.
Yeah, and I always felt this...
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sense of urgency to win right freaking now with John Lynch that matches the fan base. You know what I mean? Like, it just, his, you could tell this guy wants to win so bad. It's so endearing and so relatable. And it's just every move is made with, can this make us win a Super Bowl like yesterday? Like, that's literally his mindset. And you could feel it. Like, you could just feel it in the way that he stands there. And I don't know. There's an old school mentality to him. And now I'm like, you know, because you got me thinking. And now, and I know we'll get back into just Brandon Ayuk in general, but like, now I'm thinking about why a lot of baseball GMs don't relate with anyone. It's like, well, my numbers are telling me this and that. And it's very like non-human, and it's not open-minded. You know, Evan, and it's not open for debate, and it doesn't feel collaborative, and it doesn't feel very sense of urgency riddled. And I think that that's why there's a huge disconnect between the two sports right now.
And he's the only part of the brain trust for the 49ers that literally knows what it takes to win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Like I'm sorry, he just does. And he is a big reason why I believe that this 49ers team can win a Super Bowl, because I feel like things do start at the top. Yes, it's played out on the field, and yes, the players are more important, in my opinion, than the coaching staff or the front office, but it does take someone to at least, I feel like, when you look around your whatever respective place of work that you operate in, if you look at your boss and you know that they have been successful, you know that they know what it takes to win. That's something I feel like that has some, I don't know, just a domino effect that it runs down, and you believe that you, just by osmosis, essentially, know what it takes to get it done. You might not, and it might never happen, but at least there's a feeling, Shasky, and I don't know how you really quantify it, to be honest.
Well, no, you just, you know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a pornography, if you will. Like, you just kind of know it when you see it, right? You know, as defined by the Supreme Justice. But, no, like, this, the guy is awesome. You know, the dude is awesome. And you, there's a level of old school that I think this fan base appreciates about him. And your point about him and Shanahan and the tandem and how they kind of mask each other's shortcomings is a really, really, really good point. And I think that I can't think about the last decade of Niner football without thinking about them working in collaboration. And I think it's no secret why they've won 54 games in the last 5 years. And what are they, 54 and 29 or something like that? They're one of the most successful teams in sports.
And they've collaborated, of course, to bring in Brandon Ayuk yesterday. They inked him to a four-year, $120 million deal, $76 million guaranteed, $47 million in the first year. Not sure yet the details as far as the signing bonus, but I'd imagine Shasky, just, you know, kind of technically speaking, it'll be more of a, I don't know, maybe a backloaded deal. So you figure out how that works in regards to the contracts they currently have. I mean, this is a team right now, again, with eight players that are making in cash this season, $15 or more million. And that doesn't even include the kind of raise that Trent Williams is going to get. You know, I guess also, to bring it back to Lynch, Lynch would be the reason why I do feel like Williams is going to be there week one.
Exactly.
And that's basically where I stand on it.
Who's the happiest guy on the 49ers, the players right now, that Ayuk's back?
Brock Purdy.
It's not even close, right?
Brock Purdy, yeah.
I mean, how many times in the preseason game he dropped back? Just calm. He's just looking around, and there's just nowhere to go. I mean, just nowhere to throw the football.
And also, Baldy brought up the fact that, you know, Ayuk is a player, and maybe he can get a bit better in this category, but the guy that when the play is extended, and Brock Purdy, I think, he can get himself into trouble, there's no doubt about it, but he is someone that can extend plays certainly better than his predecessors. And Ayuk is a guy that, again, you can't recreate that sort of chemistry, that cohesion. And to have a guy who can also break off a play, and maybe not to the level of the Antonio Browns, or he was throwing, I don't know if it was like Julio Jones that he mentioned, but Brandon Ayuk is a guy that, to me, can help Brock Purdy in those sort of precarious positions. And that's another area that I think that Purdy can get better. And when the play breaks down, which it inevitably will, especially if he doesn't have his left tackle, you know, how can he make something out of nothing? And I think Ayuk's a big part of that.
You think Purdy could creep up on 40 touchdowns this year? I know that they're not a pass-first team, but in the red zone, given all these little pop passes and smoke screens and the different things that you can do now when you're bunched up against the goal line, like you think he can get to 40 touchdowns? You think that's a realistic goal? I think the number is 36 or 38 for Steve Young is the high for a 49er quarterback.
40 tugs, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
I honestly think the answer depends on the health of Christian McCaffrey, because if McCaffrey is available as much as he was last year, then I don't think he really needs to approach 40 touchdowns. But if McCaffrey, for some reason, you know, this calf strain lingers, maybe he gets a bit banged up this year, or maybe the Niners just want to limit his workload as he moves into his age 28 season, then if you want those 30 points a game, I do think you're right. Like, Brock Purdy will have to approach something like 40 touchdowns.
Well, what if you split out McCaffrey a little more this year? And that's what I'd like to see him do, is, you know, run some more routes as a receiver and less, you know, power rights into linemen and linebackers. You know, I want to see him running with lighter DBs as opposed to crashing into 300-pounders. So, I don't know. It's just something I think about. I love seeing the numbers. I never thought he'd be able to eclipse the passing record for one season. I mean, we've only had a handful of guys go over 4,000 yards in the history of the 49ers. And so, you know, all of these kind of like records and things like that, they are attainable given how good the offense is with the personnel. I mean, when you're at full strength, this is as good as any offense in Niner history.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's certainly the most talented, or one of the most talented groups. The question I have about Brock, I guess, would be, can he replicate his efficiency? Because he was the most efficient quarterback in football last year, statistically speaking.
Completion percentage.
And Brandon Ayuk was, I think, the most efficient wide receiver in football last year.
Absolutely.
And he was, you know, top 30, top 40 in terms of total receptions, but I think he was top five in terms of yards. So,
and yards per catch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he was a guy that when he got the ball, he made the most of it. Mm-hmm. It just was a, you know, a matter of trying to divvy it up between Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, and McCaffrey. And they still got to figure out how to slice the pie game in and game out. But I do wonder if Brock can be as efficient as he was last year. Because I also think what we've seen in the preseason and throughout training camp is, you know, Brock is a guy that's not afraid to play a little bit dangerously. And I think as he becomes more confident, that confidence is going to manifest itself in making more dangerous throws. Also having trust in guys like Ayuk. I mean, I know it's a preseason game, but that first throw down the sideline to Debo, that's a tight window. But it's because he knows that his guy can go get that ball. And I think there are going to be more instances like that this season.
You know, I think one area where we've talked so much about Brandon Ayuk just all offseason, his contested catches in the playoffs were impressive. He had one against Green Bay on the final drive. I believe it was on third and short, over the middle. I mean, it's falling to the ground. He's diving. The guy's on his back. The hand of the defender is in the window of the ball. He made an unbelievable acrobatic catch on the first touchdown in Philadelphia, which was a huge game in the rain. I mean, contested catches last year were things of beauty. And that's not necessarily a Debo skill. Like, it's just, I mean, he will, yeah. I mean, make one in traffic, but Ayuk just made some unbelievable catches last year with guys draped all over him. And that's something that I think that we just underrate, his catch radius and his ability to use his body as a shield to block off defenders. He's really good at that, catching with the hands.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live in the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Evan Giddings in for Bonte Hill with Joe Butcher Boy Shasky here on the Morning Roast. Big thanks to Brian Baldinger. Joined us at 8 o'clock on the River Islands guest line. Go check that out on the Odyssey app. You bring up Debo Samuel, and I expect a big year from Debo. And I hope it can be one. Look, I think statistically in this offense, it's just hard to put up huge numbers. And that's really my only concern about something like 40 tugs for Brock Purdy is there's a lot of mouths to feed, even on the ground. But was there any part of you, Shasky, because I saw it out there yesterday, was there any part of you that thought about Debo Samuel when Brandon Ayuk got his bag yesterday?
Well, so you're talking about the financial component, like what ends up happening next year and down the line with Debo.
Because Samuel's also up for a contract after this season.
Here's what I do know. And, you know, I do a lot of, like, the money stuff. They just inked a humongous television deal. And the cap is going up. Mm. And they took a click down for multiple seasons because of the COVID money and because of COVID and everything like that. And that was in part why they couldn't afford DeForest Buckner. I think baked into the equation was the cap was supposed to rise. It didn't rise to the percentage that they expected it to. And you thought you had X amount of money and you had a fraction of X amount of money to work with. And so I think that's one thing that is really lost in the details. People aren't going to, oh, you just DeForest isn't here. You know what I mean? They don't care about why. I think the cap's going to go up enough. If Debo has a monster year, why wouldn't you just try to find a way to keep him? Who's to say that he's the guy that goes? I'm looking at Javon Hargrave, and I'm saying, like, hey, buddy, you're the guy that needs to, like, figure out what you're doing this year. And then, you know, some guys might play themselves out of money that we think are set for money. You know, like, D'Amador Lenore's a guy. I think he's set for a big payday. But what if he has a tough year? You know, corners, it can be fickle. Bradbury at one point was a good player, and all of a sudden now he's a horror. I was going to go Horocious in the words of Lowe. A horrific player. You know, yeah. Charvarius Ward is a guy, like, I don't think the Niners are going to sign him. But what if his price tag drops to a level that maybe he becomes available again? Talanoa Hufanga, maybe he doesn't have a full healthy year. I don't want to talk that into existence. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, things happen, and what you think someone's price tag is, it goes up or goes down, and we might be reevaluating it. You know, like Debo might want to come back on a slightly less expensive deal because he just loves the situation and he loves Kyle. I don't know. I got to see how this thing plays out. I do know this. Debo's a very unique player, and I think there's only a handful of places that he can go and be productive. And if I'm looking at this as a player, it's like, I want to make the most. But I also want to make the most and set myself up to make something after that contract, you know, 2-3 years down the line is up. And that's why the Pittsburgh thing for Ayuk never made any sense to me. But whatever. Like, Debo can't just go to the Carolina Panthers and, like, think, oh, yeah, 2 years from now, I'll be another desirable player. Like, good luck with that, buddy. You know what I mean? Like, good luck with that. So there's very few offensive coordinators, I think, know what to do with Debo Samuel.
Yeah, I just think it's premature. I mean, look, on paper, and we've talked about this, honestly, for a couple of years just because of the looming contract of Purdy, but it's, all right, they're going to have to choose between Samuel and Ayuk. And this year they didn't choose between them. I just feel like the season dictates where the Niners are
exactly
going. It's such a year-to-year league in the NFL that I could see an avenue where the 49ers kind of morph into more of an offensive first team because they believe wholeheartedly in their quarterback, whereas from 2019 up until really the emergence of Brock Purdy, this was a defense first group. And so they invested a ton of money in their D-line. They had a great linebacking core. The secondary was solid. They weren't afraid to pay players on that side of the ball. Well, maybe Brock Purdy proves this season that with his surrounding cast, that he can lead a team that is an offensive-minded group firstly and foremost, and that includes Debo Samuel. So
also, what about
maybe Debo decreases his price? He doesn't have a great year. I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, like, there was a point in time where I thought Todd Gurley is going to be a Ram for life. Todd Gurley was one of the...
He was a stud.
He was so good. I watched him in 2018 dominate the 49ers at home. I mean, I think he's a joke now, but he's not a joke. He was a great player. Like, a great player. And injuries robbed him of his career. Like, Dre Greenlaw is a guy. I don't know what he's going to look like this year. I don't know. You know what I mean? Christian McCaffrey could easily fall off the cliff. Like, look at the position. Mm-hmm. Now, I think he's a unicorn, but the name unicorn kind of tells you there's only one of those. You know what I mean? And so, like, he could fall off. Trent could retire. You know? Brock's price tag could go down. The cap could explode to $300 million, right? Where you get $300 million. There are so many unknown variables that I just think you have to allow the season to progress before you make any assumptions.
Well, and even this offseason, I don't know how the Ayuk negotiation turns if, say, someone like Eric Armstead opts to take a pay cut, you know, because that's money that came off the books that is now more available for now and the future. I think there's situations where the Niners in the future are going to ask players to restructure their contract in a downward direction, a la Kyle Juszczyk, who was willing to take it. Maybe Debo would be willing to take it next year. Maybe next year it's George Kittle that has to restructure. I don't know. Like, there's just so many different avenues that I feel like the Niners have opened our minds to because, again, of the amount of money that they're willing to invest. And I do think it's funny that, for example, like, then I was just looking at total cash spent for the upcoming 2024 season, and the Niners, after the Ayuk deal and presumably the Trent Williams deal, they'll be number one. You know the team who's last right now in total cash spending in the NFL?
Dallas Cowboys.
Yes. And they just gave CeeDee Lamb a whole hell of a lot of money. And like, I don't know if they're saving it for Dak Prescott. I don't know if they're saving it for Micah Parsons.
No. The theory being floated around is that Jerry Jones wants to keep his money and pay slowly throughout the year because he makes more money on interest than he would if he forked the money over early. I don't know even if I believe that. That is just the theory that has been floated. I find it interesting and funny and on point if it's true.
Yeah, but
I mean, it goes with who I think he is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny to me that the question the other day about the Niners not being willing to invest is asked, and in a, I don't know, appropriate question. It got an answer that we can use to talk about. But then you look at Dallas, a team that regular season wise, I think has been the most successful the last three seasons under McCarthy.
12 wins. Like, yeah, they're very good.
In the regular season.
In the regular season.
In the regular season.
In the regular season.
And maybe that cash is a big reason why they haven't been successful in the postseason. So
entirely plausible. I mean, look at their running back situation. Look at their wide receiver two and three situation. Like that. Yikes.
Look at their quarterback situation. The quarterback just came out yesterday and said, yeah, a contract is going to determine how I think my franchise feels about me. And if it's not there, he's probably going to be gone.
Oh, Dak. I mean, Dak, how about you not throw up on yourself in the first quarter of a playoff game? All right, buddy? Like, you got 8,000 turnovers in the last three playoff games that you guys lost. Like, Dak's a very good player. Like, honestly, he's a very good player. He's in the Kirk Cousins zone for me. Like, you can win double-digit games year in, year out, but he's his own worst enemy come playoff time, and I just don't trust him at all. But we talk about him like he's just a scrub. He's not a scrub. He's a really good player, but he's just a garbage playoff player.
To me, Dak Prescott, he's the definition of a floor raiser. Like, he keeps you at a certain level, but he's not a ceiling guy. And that's where Brock Purdy, I think, can separate himself in the NFL. It's, okay, can he raise the ceiling of the San Francisco 49ers? We know what the floor is. I mean, the floor has been an NFC championship every single year that they've had a healthy roster, under Kyle Shanahan, at least.
God, I can't wait to see. What is Kyle going to be wearing on the sidelines? What new drip? Is he going to have the hair? You know, what is that frohawk thing that he's doing? What is that? It's like a mullet in the back, but it's shaved on the sides. What do the youngsters call that haircut? What is that?
I don't know, but it feels like all these new country artists, and maybe that's what Kyle Shanahan has been listening to this offseason.
Yeah,
it's
the Luke
like,
Combs look.
Yeah, Luke Combs, or I don't know, I guess Post Malone now is a new country artist, and he's moved away from the... I don't know. Kyle Shanahan, it's... I would never say he's in a midlife crisis, but sometimes the haircut... Like, if you look at the picture of him when he first started with the San Francisco 49ers until now... He feels like a very different person.
Yeah, it's like the Obama picture that everyone shows at the beginning of his presidency and then at the end of his presidency. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he looks weathered. But that's what happens when you're a late 30s guy and all of a sudden you become a mid-40s guy. Newsflash, Evan, you've got that staring you in the face. I just was at a fantasy draft with all my homies. We're all in our mid-40s. Yeah, we're not a good-looking bunch.
Oh, man, did I just turn 30? I can already feel it in my lumbar.
You
is that going to go away?
30? Shut up.
Yeah.
I hate you.
A couple weeks ago. It was a good time, though. I just realized, got to put the burritos down, got to put the Lays away. I just got to put it on layaway, to be honest. I got to get back, Shasky. I got to get right. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I do. That's why I work out every single morning, because I have to maintain this level of slobbiness. And if I allow it to go any further, I will end up looking like I'll end up looking more like Luke Combs.
Well, if you could sing like him, he'd be moving in a
dude.
In
he's
a
got a song.
Direction.
I know his album's been out for a while, but this song Joe, and I'm just banging it nonstop. It's just such a good song.
It's fantastic. And what
you a
be-
country guy? Are you a country guy?
Yeah, I used to be.
You know, country and rap are the exact same thing, right? You know that, right?
Which wait, what?
They're the same genre.
As far as the tempo?
As far as like songs about cars and women and drinking. What are we talking about, dude? There's like literally the same things.
Well, I would say pop country. Original country is a very sad, depressing, lifelessly filled genre, which I think was able to separate it. I don't know. I'm talking like Hank Williams stuff, like back in the 60s. But
dude, the only Hank Williams I acknowledge is, are you ready for some football? A Monday night party. We got Frank and Al and Dan. We're going to get this thing started. I'm going way back.
Dude, well, that's what we're looking forward to on Monday night. I mean, it's going to be Buck. It's going to be Aikman. Oh,
give it to me. Crank it up my ears.
Serenade us with the Monday Night Football theme song, please. I can't.
You're looking live at Candlestick Park on a foggy Monday night as the 2008 Arizona Cardinals with their freshly drafted quarterback Matt Leinart is jogging onto the field with an old man Kurt Warner backing him up, who's probably going to replace him after 6 weeks. And as you see, it's the young Alex Smith and his offensive repertoire of Arnez Battle and Fred Otis Amy opposite him, and a young stalwart Frank Gore. Norvell Turner is the offensive coordinator, and look at Mike Nolan wearing a Reebok suit.
I gotta tip my cap to you. That was incredible. But it's that kind of stuff that keeps me locked in. Like, football, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. NFL football is a narcotic. It is a drug, and I can't kick it, and I don't want to, because every single August and then September, I just inject it right back into my big vein, and I cannot get enough of it up until the end of the season in February.
I'm not even injecting it. Have you seen the end of Scarface, where he's like fumbling over the speaker as he's talking to Sosa? You want to go to war? You want to go to war? That's all of us trying to set our fantasy draft lineups at 9 a.m. Sunday morning. Like, duh. And guess the best part about it is, like a true addict, we're up all day Saturday, baby, because college football's back. Did you watch Colorado yesterday? That was awesome.
I did see Colorado. I saw North Dakota State. That team looks like it's got some action this year. The Bison, boy. Dude, okay, so you...
Travis Hunter. Woo!
Oh, that guy's unbelievable. I got a soft spot in my heart. We got a minute here. I got a soft spot in my heart for NDSU, because I did get to cover the Trey Lance freshman year team. And it was a pretty fun time up there in Fargo. I'm not going to lie to you.
You were in the Dakotas?
Yeah, I lived in Fargo in 2019. During that winter.
No way.
Yeah. Easton Stick into Trey Lance. I got to talk to him.
Easton Stick?
Yeah. It was, oh boy. Yeah, his career is about,
dude,
going about as well as Trey Lance's.
It wasn't Dancing with Wolves in the Dakotas?
No, it was funny. Everybody else in North Dakota called people from Fargo city slickers, because it's the only city up there with north of 100,000 population. But it's ridiculous. It is unbelievably cold.
How much for an apartment?
Oh boy, dude, I had a bachelor pad for like $1,200 a month. That's what I'm paying for half a kitchen here in San Francisco. All right, when we come back on the other side, I do want to open up the phone lines, 888-957-9570, and also turn this conversation towards Trent Williams, the other big piece that needs to be inked for the San Francisco 49ers, the final piece of the puzzle for what we hope can turn into a championship season, finally, for these Niners. Evan Gittings in for Bonta Hill alongside Butcher Boy Shasky. And a reminder to join us Wednesday, September 4th at Fremont Bank in Fremont. The address is 39150 Fremont Boulevard. William Dibbs kick things off for 2 to 4. Rest of the hosts will join from 4 to 6 p.m. to talk about the biggest storyline surrounding the 49ers at the start of the season. You can come watch as well. Space is limited. First come, first serve. We'll be back after this on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.